Turn to the 27th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And the verse 33, the 33rd verse of the 27th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." If you read carefully the Bible, you will find certain people of whom it is recorded that they parted their garments. I'm not going to refer to them. Search the scriptures. Every one of them has a message. Those who parted their garments. But please notice this blessed Savior of ours was brought to a place called Golgotha. It is known as the place of a skull. He was brought to the place of death. Golgotha, the place of death. And when he got there, they gave him gall to drink. And gall itself is another representative of death. It is the drink of death. They gave him vinegar mingled with gall. But he did not take it. For why? Because he had to suffer every pain, every bruising, every torment of his body. If he had taken this, he would have died quickly. And he could not have atoned for our sins. He must suffer. And he must die alone. So he refused it. For if he had taken it, we would not be sitting here today. We would be lost and damned in hell forever. And then they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lot. Here we have the casting and parting of his garments. Christ had to be stripped in order that nothing would hinder the awful suffering that he had to bear on Calvary. He suffered naked on the cross. Nakedness came as a result of sin. Adam and Eve didn't recognize their nakedness because they were holy, man and woman. But when they took of the forbidden fruit, suddenly their eyes were opened and they were blinded because of sin. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And then notice that those that did that job sat down and watched him there. But the last thing they did was they set over his head his accusation. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. I don't know whether you have thought of that accusation. It never occurred to Pilate, who wrote it, what he was writing. He didn't say, this man claims to be Jesus, the King of the Jews. Instead, his accusation was not an accusation. It was an announcement. It was announced that he was Jesus, the King of the Jews. Mm-hmm. Jesus means Savior. So as that world of sinners cursed him as he died, the message went out from the cross, this is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But lest someone at the cross might not have known the wonder of Christ, after the word Jesus, we have a further authoritative confirmation message. The King of the Jews. Who were the Jews? They were the people that got him to the cross, that cursed him as he died, who said he saved others. Himself, he couldn't see him. But Jesus did not excommunicate them and send them all to hell. He was Jesus, their King. Amen. And on the day of Pentecost, what a crowd of them came into the kingdom of God. 3,000. And who was the preacher? The man that rebuked Christ, the man that turned against the Savior and took him aside in the roadway to Jerusalem and told him he shouldn't speak the way he spoke. How wonderful is the transforming grace of God. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Amen. All may change.
Hallelujah.
But Jesus never. Amen. Glory to his name.